Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Church of God International here in London. We are extremely pleased, we're extremely happy to have you joining us, both those who are on the internet, viewing and listening, and of course our members here at Church in London. I bring you greetings from the Ministerial Council of the Church of God International. We met last week in Cincinnati in the United States, and we shared with them just how we are doing here in London, and of course in other places that we are connected to from this London base. And I really want to acknowledge and to really thank the leaders and the members, you know, who continue to keep the flame, you know, going, you know, as we have to do these many other duties which all work together for the ultimate good and for the glory of God. Now, today I want to touch on a subject that we haven't really spoken about, at least not in much detail, but a number of questions have been asked from time to time, and I thought it's important that we should touch on it. You know, Sabbath of the Sabbath, we come to services, and, you know, particularly those who are new to us, they see we do not send around, you know, collection plates, collecting money. If you go to, this is very strange, frankly, in pretty much every sort of worship setting, you know, particularly in the Sunday churches and so on, that is a regular thing. Each time services are held, there is an offering that is taken. And if, of course, the purpose is in order to carry on the work and so on. But we don't do that. And many ask why, you know, what is it that, you know, you actually believe or do? Well, frankly, it is not because we don't need money. Please understand that. We actually need to function, and money is very key in doing the work and paying, you know, the fees and rents and travels and all the various things that we have to do, helping to support the work that is being done in other countries that we are connected to. And so it does take quite a bit of resources to do that. But we do this because we actually abide by and follow the rule laid down in Scripture, which God has established to finance His church. And of course, yes, you're right, it's called tithing. Now, there are many who you have both tithing and then you collect the offerings generally, you know, week by week. We stick to tithing as a means of supporting, financing the work of God. And the tithing really is something that we need to understand a little bit more about. We need to understand why tithing is an essential part of our worship of God. And the Hebrew word, and also the Greek word that is translated tithing, actually means a tenth. That's really what the word means, a tenth. It's a tenth of one's income that one uses in order to support the church. So really, in a scriptural sense, tithing is a consecration of a tenth of one's income to God for the work of God to be carried out. God, of course, is very much concerned with that we should follow this particular rule. And many, you know, there's some who have said that, well, isn't it out of date? You know, isn't it something that was really back in the Old Testament? And therefore, why are you carrying it forward? Well, it is really, you know, a sort of argument that some raise, and which legitimately they're doing so. But if you look in the Scriptures, you will see that God sees the issue of tithing not as something which is because of Israel, or because of, you know, the good human heart, mm-hmm. but because of God's instructions. If you look in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17, this is something that God requires and expects us to do. He was speaking to Israel after they were to enter the promised land. And this is God's people. Remember, whenever you see Israel in the scripture, always remember that these were the people that God dealt with exclusively. He was not dealing with the rest of the nations. And the reason for that is because God is giving us a picture of today, that there is a called out people that he deals with exclusively in the world, even today. So there is an Israel of God in the world today. That Israel, the Bible defines it and tells us that, you know, it is really the people that God calls and gives his spirit to them. And therefore they're defined. Galatians refer to them, Paul refers to them as the Israel of God. So this is the congregation of God. And that's the people that are in the world to which this applies today. Now Deuteronomy 8, 17 to 18, it says, God says to his people, you may say to yourself, you know, when you get in the land he's speaking about, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. So that is what people are likely to say. Why should I give 10% of my income that I've worked so hard for, and, you know, I have my own plans and things. Why should I give that to, you know, to the church and to, you know, for all kinds of things? I know there are all kind of wrong things go on where people misuse money and all that kind of thing. But just listen to God's perspective, because your relationship is really with God, and what you want to do is to be sure that you are following through on doing what God requires of you. You may say to yourself, my power and strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. So people have a way of taking ownership of possession and saying, this is really mine. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is today. So what he's saying is, look, you are misunderstanding this thing. Stop for a minute. Whatever you earn, you are able to get it because of the breath that I have put in you. You have been able to do it because of the mind that I put in you. The strength, the energy I have put in you. I have done this to you to enable you to do this. So whenever you earn, understand the source. The source is not your strength, is not your ability, is not your ambition. So in principle, tithing is similar to, you could say, Sabbath keeping, in the sense that it is a portion of your income, in this case 10%, which God requires, in as much as he gives us 7 days. He gives us 7 days for a week. And he says, look, this one, you know, belongs to me. I give you. All of them. Where do days come from? Who raises the sun day after day to come up and down and to give us days and nights? It is God. So all days belong to him. But he says, this one, the 7 day, I want you not to do any of your work or your thing in it. You're going to do the things of the Lord. So there is a parallel with tithing and Sabbath keeping, the principle of all things belong to God, and God is actually apportioning to us 90% for our use. And he says, give me one of the 7 days. He says, give me 10% of the 100%. Now, it could be the other way. God is saying, you know what? All of this is mine. Yeah. I'm giving you 10%. And, you know, you give me 90%. But if we can see from God's perspective, we may have a different attitude, a different mindset when it comes to tithing. Now, most people, when they hear about tithing, they think about money. But that's not really the essence of tithing. Tithing is about worship. When we think about tithing, we should think about God, relationship, worship. Those are the trigger words that should come to mind. And therefore, you could illustrate this by way of the mother or the father who has this 3-month-old baby and is feeding the baby, giving the baby food to eat, but after giving it to the child, would turn to the child and say, give mommy some, or give daddy some. Okay? Now, what is happening there is that the child usually would refuse, you know, no, it's mine. That's really how the child would respond. But is the mother or father asking that child for some because mother or father needs to benefit, is out of food and needs food? No. Mother or father is doing this in order to build a relationship with the child, in order to impart the values of charity in the child. It's for the child's good. It's for the child's development that this is being taken. So we need to understand the concept behind tithing, that it is God's power, through his power, that he gives everything, and he is teaching us how to have a relationship with him, how to be part of the God family. And we are participants in that family, and God enables us to do that. Look into 2 Peter 1 verse 13, you see there where it tells us very clearly, his divine power has given us everything we need for godly life. So everything that we get, very unlikely for a carnal mind to think about that everything that we have really is from God, it's not mine. It takes a spiritual mind, a spiritual understanding to do that. Look with me on David, who is speaking in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 10. And is a prayer that David is praying after he has decided that the temple is to be built, and he has got the people to put together the funds in order to build a temple. Of course, the temple is going to be built by Solomon, his son, but he is bringing it all to that stage. And listen to David's prayer to God and see how David has this concept, because it is out of this, God reveals to us his perspective on how he wants us to think about the issue of tithing. Here's what David says. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the majesty, the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. This is how Christians see God and see the relationship with God. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. That's where everything comes from. No matter how much we have to get up early in the morning and go to work and spend long hours and all the rest of it, we, through the day, our mind should be upon God's blessing to enable us to do what we're doing. Wealth and honor comes from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. It is God who is giving strength and power and giving all of the things to us to enable us to be able to participate in the building of the work of God on the earth. Verse 13, "Now, O God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this?" Because they were all giving their the monies towards the building of the temple. "Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." That's it. That's what we are doing. We are not giving God anything. Nobody can add to God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything belongs to Him. And therefore, he continues in verse 15, "We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as we are all, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without a hope." Those are the things to think about. That, look, I won't be around on this earth to continue tithing for more than the number of years. It's a temporary matter. And it has meaning. It has powerful meaning for the person who is tithing in terms of their relationship with God and what God promises. Verse 16, "Lord, or God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you." The generosity, the heart with which we give, is very important in tithing. We can be tithing and we really are not tithing, because the spirit of giving and desire to give and the joy and the happiness of giving and thanking God for allowing us to keep the larger portion is very, very important in all of this. Verse 17, "I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity." Because God is watching the heart in the process of the tithing. You test the heart. I can go and I can I can really give something and say I'm giving and I'm doing, you know. But the question is, am I really giving? Or am I being somewhat very, lethargy and reluctant and wish I didn't have to, you know, sort of thing? This is part of it. Verse 18, "Lord, the God of our father Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of our people, of your people, forever. And keep their hearts loyal to you." Because the prayer is, "Lord, help us not to lose sight of your plan, of your perspective in this act of tithing. Help us to come with this perspective which you have given to David and through his prayer, so that we can understand what we are to do." What we are learning here is that everything that we have comes from God and belongs to God. And God permits us to retain the larger portion for ourselves and utilizes the smaller portion for the building of His kingdom. But unfortunately, like that little child which the mother was, you know, giving a meal and said to the child, "Give mommy some," or "Give daddy some," you know, and the child, "No." Because there is a lack of understanding. There's a lack of what this means. The child isn't even thinking that this is mother who provides, or father who provides this. The child is thinking that this is mine, and you're asking me for mine, and this is mine, I'm not going to give it to you. And as children of God, we have to be of a different mind. Now, the question that is asked also is it mandatory? Is it a requirement of God? Or is it a voluntary, is it something, it's a choice that we have? In other words, do we have the option or the right to tithe or not to tithe? Are we sinning, is a question, against God when we fail to tithe? Well, the answer to that is that tithing is a biblical command. It is commanded by God. You go to Malachi 3 and you look at verses 8 to 9 and you see how God addresses it. Look at what he says in verses 8 to 9 of Malachi 3. Will a man rob God? He sees it as robbery when we do not tithe. Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. These are the offerings which are given at the holy days in the festivals of God. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. No, you don't want more. You don't want it straight than that. This is more than a command. This is a command with a consequence that you are under a curse. So it is very important to understand how God sees it. He sees it because what God is saying, and it is true, it is robbing God. Because it's as though you would take something to someone and you gave it to them and it's all yours, and you gave it to them and say, look, I'm going to ask you to take care of this property or take care of this money or whatever it is for me, and I will give you a commission. I'll pay you something for it. So you are actually the one who own and give it to you. But the person has decided, no, I'm going to keep all of it. I'm going to keep all of it for me. So he says, you rob me. So God says when we fail to tithe, we are robbers and we are under a curse. It tells us then how compelling it is for one to tithe. Now, is there any benefits for those who tithe? Of course. The first benefit is that you're being given the 90%. That's the first benefit of what it is. But more than that, on a spiritual level, look at what God says in verse 10 of the same Malachi 3. God is saying to us, look, you don't understand you're your own worst enemy. You're not only robbing me. You're destroying yourself. Why? He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. That is, bring it to his people, to God's church. That there may be food in my house. So God has a need for it. He's showing it is needed in his house. Test me in this, says the Lord. He's putting out a challenge to us. He's putting out a challenge to us. And this is very serious. He says, the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Now, some people, you know, in the health and wealth world use this in a completely different manner. First of all, tithing is to God. Tithing is to the church of God. So when you are, you know, you're giving money all about it, understand, you can be generous. You give to the poor, give to whoever, that's fine. Give to organizations, that's fine. But do not regard it as tithing unless it is being given in the church of God. That's true. I kid you not. God is very, very strict on this. And if his tithing is one of his laws. And it applies to his laws. So we have to understand that if we are not tithing within the right context, we're still not tithing. You can be generous and you can be giving things away, but don't call it tithing until it is really in the house of God. That's all we're saying. We must understand the difference. He goes on in verse, he says, see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. Verse 11, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. In other words, God will protect. God will ensure that the losses that you could have suffered along the way. Because you may say, I am keeping back this because I have to protect this and I have to protect that. But God is saying, look, you're not thinking the pests that are going to come and eat up your crop. You're not going to earn the money that you think that you are earning. Because, you know, this is, come on in. Because this is really, you know, part of the whole concept that he's bringing here. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruits. So there is a consequence. That's where the curse comes in. Where you're going to be losing a lot. Now you may say, how do I lose? Yeah, you lose because, number one, health may fail you. Two, you could have got a promotion, but you did not get the promotion in the job. So the idea of how you relate to the idea of tithing has an important consequence with God. Now, was tithing abolished under the Old Covenant? That's the question that many ask. The answer to that question is very straightforward. The Old Covenant did not bring tithing into existence. Therefore, if the Old Covenant did not bring tithing into existence, the abolition of the Old Covenant cannot take tithing out of existence. Tithing predates the Old Covenant. We see in Genesis, in the relationship between Abraham and Melchizedek, how tithing, Abraham tithed to Melchizedek long before an Old Covenant came into existence. Also, you would have seen that Abraham's tithe was given to a priest after whose order the priesthood of Christ is patterned. Christ's priesthood is patterned on that of Melchizedek. When you are tithing today, you're tithing as Abraham tithed under the Melchizedek priesthood. And we must therefore understand the foundational principles behind this when we think about tithing. So the idea of tithing being an Old Testament thing and it doesn't belong. Someone had asked me that question and I said one of these days I'm going to be doing a presentation on tithing. So, you know, stand by and, you know, you will see, you know, the scriptural response to those questions. Now, question is, to whom should you tithe? Because there are some people who say, I have my tithe, but I am going to just save it up, and I'm going to, you know, decide where I'm going to send it. And that is also an important question. The tithe, first of all, belongs to God. Let us get back to first principles. It does not belong to us. Therefore, we cannot take the tithe and say, I am going to give it to a charity in some place because it is to help people who are hungry or so. It is not. That's not tithing. That's charity, and that's good. Do it. But do not misunderstand. The tithe belongs to God. You cannot. You cannot use money that was given to you by, you know, some person for some purpose and use it for a purpose of your own making. It has to be utilized for the purpose it was designed. So it belongs to God, and therefore it has to be used for the purpose that God does it. In Leviticus 27 and verse 30, it says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. So you're not dealing with ordinary money. you're dealing with something that is holy, comes before a holy God. And so we do not have that right. But the Bible makes it clear that the tithe was given to God's priests or ministers. It was this is where the tithe was put. So you will see Numbers 18, verses 8 to 9. Numbers 18, verses 8 to 9. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, 'Behold, I have given you charge of the contributions made to me.'" Remember, it is God's tithe. It's not the minister's tithe. God says they are the persons who will handle the money that belongs to him. "All the consecrated things of the people of Israel, I have given them to you as a portion, and to your sons as a perpetual due." That is for the ministry to go on. "This shall be yours of the most holy things, reserved from the fire. Every offering of theirs, every grain offering of theirs, and every sin offering of theirs, and every guilt offering of theirs, which they render to me, shall be most holy to you and to your sons." The priesthood. Now, the fact that it is holy means that it has to be used in accordance with God's holiness. It is not that the priest can now take it and just flippantly think of what is to be done. It is to be done prayerfully and in accordance with the things that God has as his priority. God's kingdom is a priority. And the working of God's kingdom, the building up of God's kingdom, is really what it is. So, for example, God's people assemble, and there is a cost for the assembly. That is so, because, you know, David was using the money building the temple of God. There are many other such expenses that are taken care of. It takes care of God's work. In the CGI, ministers are not paid. We are all working. There's a sort of administrative arm of the church that, you know, persons are employed and are paid because that's their full-time job. In the case of the ministry, we are actually working people. And we do our work and earn our money. We pay tithe. We, the ministers, pay tithe. So it's not that the ministry collects tithe and there's something being done. That's not the custom within. Now, not that anything is wrong with that. God does speak to the fact of the ministry being paid and so on. It's just that in the Church of God International, we as ministers, we're not into that. We want to see the money, and not only that, the church is small, so the little money that comes in, we want to put it into the evangelism. We want to put it into the printing of the booklets. We want to put it into ensuring that members have a place to meet and those sort of things. So that's basically, you know, getting and supporting the work of God around the globe. So that's really where money goes. If you look in verse 24 of the same Numbers, 18, it says, "For the tithe of the people of Israel, which they present as a contribution to the Lord, I have given to the Levites for an inheritance. Therefore, I have said to them that they shall have no inheritance among the people of Israel." God did not give them land as he gave to the other tribes, the Levites. And therefore, that was their portion. Okay? So God was giving them that to do. But the principle is that it is for God's work to carry out the mission that God has laid down for his... So clearly every offering along the tithe that people pay is for to accomplish God's work. And such a work is very much needed. Such income is needed for the work that is being done. the work, you know, that we have to be doing in Asia, in Africa, that's in Pakistan, in Kenya at the moment, that we are directly connected here from London congregation, that we are working with the groups of people there. We support them because they are in another part of the world where, as hard as life is for us to survive in our environment, it is, they would see it as luxury, you know, that we have the facilities that we have in some other parts of the world. And so these are people that God is calling. I mean, this morning, for example, I was with the both groups. I was with the leader from the church in Pakistan and the leader from the church in Kenya. And we spent the first hour from 10 till 11 going through. This morning we did a study on where is the church that Jesus built, because I was trying to help them to understand you know, the nature of the church in the world today. It is not what we see around us, that the church is a very is not a powerful, in human terms, is not a powerful body out there that is filling up stadiums. It is really a handful of people God called first fruits that he's calling in order for them to reign with Christ, to bring the nations to God. God's aim is the nations. It's with all peoples of all races and cultures. That's what God is going after. But he has a structure, and he's forming a government. And just the way you elect a government and the government rules over the people, so it is that we will rule with Christ over the nations. That's the structure that God works with. And so every human being will have the opportunity for salvation. But there is an order. Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who are his. You know, there's a structure to that. So the idea of tithes and who to tithe to and what it is used for and so on are all in the scriptures. If you turn with me, 1 Corinthians 9, verses 13 to 14, you will see how Paul, in speaking with the Corinthians church about support for the ministry, he makes reference to the Old Testament model listed in Deuteronomy. Look at what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 13. Do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service, in the temple service, get their food from the temple? It's the same thing that God says. Bring food into my house. Because this is for the priests and those who are doing the work. And those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings. In the same way, the Lord commands that those who proclaim the gospel should be get their living by the gospel. So nothing is wrong with ministers being paid. It's just that in the Church of God, we have decided to defer. And Paul did that too. He decided not to take any offerings from the Corinthian church. You know, for whatever reason that was. And, you know, he was being supported by some other congregations. But what it says is that it can be the option of the ministers to say, look, we are going to be, you know, we want to see the work of God moved on. We will find our own living. You know, we will do that. Now, there are times when you may have someone who has to be fully dedicated in order to get the whole thing going, if, you know, after you grow and you need to have maybe someone who is committed to the literature and the communication and so on, then you can change the structure and use some of that money to pay somebody to do that work. But look at Paul, what he says here. Well, turn to Matthew 10:9, because you know Paul is showing how the way in which he patterned receiving of money is patterned on what we saw in the Old Testament. But Jesus himself also used the Old Testament principle to speak to this issue. In Matthew 10, verse 9 to 10, Jesus says, "Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey." He's sending out his disciples to work, right? "Or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for the laborer deserves his food." This thing about the laborer deserves his food is coming back from, you know, do not muzzle the oxen. Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, they have to work and they have to be fed. And Jesus is also speaking to that principle. So the tithes and offering that are brought in, you know, can be used for those purposes. But it is just that we say, look, we will put this towards whatever work is being done. Ministers, you know, within the CGI just don't bother to accept any kind of wages. Now, another question that was asked is, what about a person who is in debt? Who is really very, very down in debt? And they say to you that, look, I'm going to start tithing, but I just want to clear off, you know, some debt. And then after a while, you know, I'll be in a position to do that. How does that sit with the scriptures and sit with God's view of tithing? Because this person would say, it can't be right for me. I'm in debt and, you know, I'm probably bringing the name of God into this grace, you know, with this. So let me at least take care of that, and so on. Well, you know, it's not a bad thought to say, well, you know, maybe I should take care of my debt and so on. But what is important is, what does God say? How does God see it? And the answer is, no matter how much debt we are in, we are required to tithe. Why? What is the sense behind that? It's because your tithe is not your money. You can't use it to pay your debt. It's a form of, that's why God says, you're robbing me. You're stealing. It is not yours. Think of it. If you had somebody else's money, would you take that money and go and pay your debt? No, it doesn't belong to you. So that is the scriptural answer. So by not paying your tithe, you are putting yourself in even deeper debt. Because you're using up somebody else's money, which you it does not belong to you, and putting yourself in problems. God's word tells us that our payment to God must be the first out of our income. It's the first fruit. In other words, the first thing when you get your income that you take out of it, before you buy grocery, before you pay rent, before you pay whatever, is to take out your tithe and put that there. And this has strong symbolism. It symbolizes how much we believe in God, how much we trust in God, how much we think that God will answer. Because he has said, test me. That's what God says, you know. He said, test me. Just do what I say and see if I do not pour out. Open up the windows of heaven. And that should never be the reason that we're doing it, by the way. We should not be doing it because we're saying, you know what? Okay. I know how to make some money. I'm going to go pay God some tithe. And he's going to... That's not the idea. That's not the idea either. We know how our God works. God wants people like the Hebrew boys who say, I know my Lord can. I know my Lord has promised. But even if my Lord does not do it, I am still going to obey my Lord. That is really how it is. Hence, God would say, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. So the principle of Scripture tells us that we cannot use the excuse of being in debt to avoid tithing. It is something is something which doesn't make sense, because you would be creating another debt, because you owe debt to God, and therefore the idea is the first debt to be paid in our lives is the debt to God. And that makes it quite easy, you know, for us to relate to God in by not robbing Him, according to how He has put it in Malachi. So, what was the situation with Paul, why he didn't take tithe from the Corinthians? Because one may say, well, you know, as ministers we could say we're not going to take any tithe from the church and so on. Well, I've explained that in the sense that the ministers themselves do not use tithe, they are not salaried, so they do not depend on tithe for their business. But you know, were the Corinthians then paying tithe as a result of Paul not taking tithe to them? Well, we can read a little more about it in 1 Corinthians 9, 1 to 23. I'm not going to go through all of that. But what he said there is that he and Barnabas had the right to receive a financial support from the Corinthians for their service to the church. So he made it clear that, look, it's not that we're not entitled, right? But even though they had this right, Paul explained that they did not exercise it because they were concerned that it might hinder the gospel. Now, whatever may have been the reason he said that is very much, you know, we may want to know, we may want to get a little more explanation on that. But the fact is that he saw that it was prudent for them, Barnabas and himself. It could have been that there was ill will in the congregation towards Paul, because Paul was very strict in terms of his ministry, and he told them to take the man out of the church who was having a fornication or adulterous affair. You know, he would deal with them harshly, and he would think that, look, I wanted to know, I don't have to depend on you. All I wanted to do was to do God's will. So I'm not going to take any money from you. I mean, things of that nature can be part of, of it. The other thing could be that he was having enough money for his work, and he said, look, we won't take any money from Corinth, because we're getting money elsewhere. In 2 Corinthians 11, 7 to 8, you're seeing a little explanation there. Paul says, was this my offense, that I made no charge for preaching the gospel of God? Because it seems that they were offended. Humbling myself in order to exalt you, I robbed other churches by accepting support from them to serve you. So it's in a sense Paul was working with them and doing things for them, but he says he didn't want to take any funds from them. Maybe there were other expenses, there were other ministers that Paul had there that was doing work, and he says, look, pay the local ministers. We are getting enough money to do our work, so we don't have to depend on you for it. But this is something here which tends to explain the reason that he was not taking funds from them. If you look there too in verse 9, I think, he is saying that the brethren in Macedonia paid the expenses that he could not meet in Corinth. He says, if I ran short while I was with you, I did not become a charge on anyone. my needs were fully met by friends from Macedonia. I made it a rule, as I always shall, never be a burden to you. Again, it could be a situation where they were bad-mouthing Paul, that they are the ones who are keeping him alive and keeping his, you know. And he says, look, I want you to know, this is all about God's business. And for that reason, I don't want any money from you. Because you can see some things coming out here, which is saying that it was not quite comfortable. And he says, you know, I didn't want to be put in a position where you are, I'm becoming a charge on you. My needs were met, you know, so I don't really need from you, you know. So you can see that that is part of what was happening here. So there were good reasons for Paul not to take offerings from the church in Corinth. But it does not mean that they were not paying their tithe. It simply means that Paul was not the one that was utilizing the money for his ministry. Now, how do I calculate my tithe? I calculate my tithe on the full income that comes to me. It says, the Bible says we must, our tithe must be calculated on our increase. Okay? So what is the increase that comes to you? There are different ways of looking at it, and it's something that, you know, we could always have a discussion about. But one wonders if, for example, there are certain statutory deductions that are made before you get your money. The government is paying you and they take out their money. Or your employer is paying you and they take out what is to be paid and what your increase is. One way is looking at it in the gross, that, well, everything belongs to me. I'm only paying to the government. But another argument for that is, look, if I'm going to make it my first payment, that is taken out before I get the money in my hand. It is out of my control, the first payment. The first payment that I pay is my tithe. And that is not my tithe, what the government is taking. So there is a reasonable argument for one to say, look, if I'm going to follow the laws of God where I am going to pay my first payment from my money to God, there is an aspect in which I have no control. So it's whatever comes to me, this becomes my increase. I begin payment from there. So that's also a reasonable way. What we want to do is to do things where we have a clear conscience before God, and to know that we are doing things right. But, you know, I know that there are to and fro discussions on that topic, and we can talk about it in our fellowship session when we do that. But the in a business, again, if you're doing business, you're self-employed, the cost of doing business is all taken out first. That is part of the business transaction. And it is whatever is the income or the profit that becomes your increase. So those payments that are towards the earnings, you have to buy and pay the purchases for the items and so on, and ultimately it is the your net income becomes your increase. So that principle again applies there. So there, it doesn't have to be that, well, it has to be this gross, which you don't really know how much the gross is. It is really on your increase, and I think you can take it that way. Take, for example, even the farmers. The farmers who used to have their crops, it is really, a lot of the crop, some of it may be spoiled, some of the crops may be eaten by animals, some of the crops may be stolen, and it is what they get in their hand. Right? Ultimately. And what I get is my increase, and I pay my tithe from that. So I think that principle seems to stand up pretty well, if we can discuss it. Now, there's another area I want to discuss with you, but it's not today. I want to talk with you. It is also called tithe in the Bible, the second tithe, and even a third tithe. We'll talk about it. It is not a tithe that is to the church, to God. It is really your money. It is really money that is for you to use for Feast of Tabernacles and for probably helping others. Okay? We can talk about that and see what God says to it. But what it really turns out to be is a way in which God helps us to manage our money so that we can do the things that He requires of us. And therefore, that's not a tithe in the sense of you paying out to anyone. Is if you setting aside someone like a savings for the purpose of the Feast of Tabernacles, so that every year you have enough money to go to the feast. And there is a big reason behind that. I made mention of it at the Feast of Tabernacles in Kingston, which is God wants us at the time of a feast to elevate our standard of living to a kingdom type living. In other words, you're going to live above your normal standard of living for the period of a feast. So He says you're going to spend 10% of your income within 8 or 10 days, right? That period of time. And you are going to really live at a much higher standard of living than you would normally live during the year. A kind of a picturing of God's kingdom coming and kingdom living. But we will talk about that because that's a subject on its own that we can talk about. The other tithes, the second tithe, the third tithe. Is the third tithe still applicable today? We can talk about that. The second tithe, for sure, nobody will argue about that. That's the Feast of Tabernacles. But we can go into that. But I just wanted us to have this good, better perspective and understanding on how God sees tithing and what it is all about and why tithing really is not a human decision. It's not optional. Why it is a part of worship and why it is something that we all must feel very very free, very generous, willing to pay tithes. There is a mighty blessing that God has promised to those who obey Him, not only in tithes, in obeying Him, obeying His laws. Tithe is one of them. But in reference to the tithe, He does say, I will open the storehouse of heaven and to enable you. So even in taking care of your other debts. And you know what? Just from a point of view of literal experience, there are several persons within the church that can tell you that since they started following the biblical rule of handling money, of tithing and so on, they have somehow, they are able to manage better. Somehow, they are in less debt. And it's not that they're earning necessarily more money. It's just that it happens that there are no pests eating out their fields. In other words, your doctor's bill may be less. Or your transportation bill may just turn out to be less. Or your promotion may just come out. But we really refrain from those kinds of discussion. It's in the Bible. But we refrain from those discussions because we think it is wrong to have the wrong motive. If people are doing those things for the purpose of, you know, getting physical wealth and so on, then we start to go down a bad road. But God has promised it. And all we should do, obey God and allow God to do His will. May God bless you and may we have a better attitude, all of us, towards tithing. And I hope that those who are hearing via the internet will consider these things and also participate in the tithing to God's church. On a website, there is a field there which one can actually tithe to the church. And you can go there as well as you can connect with us on the web and we can respond to you to say exactly how this can be done. God bless you. Thank you.